Hello, and welcome back to We Are the Weirdos, Mister, the podcast for all things cult, camp, queer, and creepy. I am your host, Hilary Michelle Post, and I am joined by my beloved bestie, Julie. Say hi, Julie.
Hi, Julie.
I'm so excited to have you back, Jules. You haven't been on the pod since, like, October, and I've missed you so much.
Are you for real?
Yeah. Sorry.
I feel bad.
Don't feel bad. You've been super busy.
I know. I'm so busy. I mean, I worked myself sick.
Aw.
It's fine. I'll get better soon.
Well, to celebrate the return of Julie, I asked her to pick the film we'd talk about today. And she picked one of her favorite movies, which she admittedly has been trying to get me to watch for the last, like, 15 years of our friendship.
I need to know, did you love it?
I loved it.
Oh, thank God. Thank God.
I loved it. I loved it, but I also, most of my notes are just question marks, so you're really going to have to help me break down what happened in this movie, because I'm so unclear.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Today, we are talking about Howling 2, Your Sister is a Werewolf.
She goes, shouldn't we cover The Howling first? And I was like, no, you don't need to. It's fine. Genuinely don't need to see The Howling to watch The Howling 2, Your Sister is a Werewolf, and I know this because I don't know if I've actually seen The Howling. Maybe, but I only watched it, like, last year. I have this movie on DVD.
Oh, my God. That was another thing, too, of, like, because this movie streams, it'll, like, because I've tried to track it down before. It disappears every once in a while, and then will reappear. Right now, it's available on Prime and Tubi and Pluto, so if you haven't watched it, go watch it right now.
I remember one time Seth and I were looking for it on Prime, and, like, every other Howling movie was on Prime except for The Howling 2.
Right. I've had that happen before. Like, I remember a couple years ago when I did my watch a horror movie every day, I wanted to watch it, and it wasn't available anywhere then. It was annoying.
That's kind of how I knew that Seth was really special, because he also loves this movie and also has it on DVD.
Oh my God. That's amazing.
Yeah, he's very special to me.
He's very special. He just got more brownie points with me.
Yeah. He also has Little Nicky on DVD, which is, like, a big thing.
Oh my God.
You know how much I love that movie.
I do.
For your listeners, I need them to know I tried to get you to watch Paddington 2, but you were like, it's not subversive enough. He goes to prison. He reforms it from the inside with kindness.
I need to watch that, because I think it's getting taken off of HBO soon.
It is. You should. Have you not seen it?
No, I haven't seen either of them.
Oh, I mean, again, I also don't really think you need to watch Paddington 1 to understand Paddington 2. You don't. Like, you have a high comprehension level. Like, if you have a high comprehension level, you can almost understand any movie. I promise you this. Seriously.
So, how did you first come across Howling 2? When was the first time you watched it?
I was, like, probably a young teenager, and I saw it on, like, late night on the movie channel.
Wow.
Because that's where they put this awkward porn on it, like, 3 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
And this movie has a lot of titties, and I'm pretty sure that's where I saw it. And I'm obsessed with it because, you know.
Yeah.
Titties.
Yeah, titties. This whole movie, I just kept doing that TikTok thing. I'm like, take them titties out because I want to see them. AM to the PM double DM because I need them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Steer will hook you up. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought this movie into my life, and I apologize for it taking so long for me to see it.
Well, and I feel like when I was younger, I'd seen it on lists of, like, the worst movies ever made.
Yeah.
But I just Google searched, like, worst movies ever made, and I could find it on one. Like,
to be fair,
wasn't even a thing. It's
to
old.
Be fair, it has, like, 31% on Rotten Tomatoes, which isn't terrible. I've watched movies on Netflix with my mother within the past month that have had lower ratings than that.
So, I was looking at one of those lists, and one of those lists had, like, Caddyshack on it. I was like, that's weird.
It's very weird.
And another one had Jingle All the Way on it.
Okay, well.
Okay. I know. Jack and Jill was on a lot of them, which I think is really funny.
Valid.
Fair. But I swear that this one used to be on this list, but it's good. So everyone's wrong.
What I will say about this movie, in terms of, like, its legacy as a bad film, I won't name the podcast, but everyone will know what podcast I'm talking about. A certain popular podcast that talks about bad movies did an episode about this movie. And I remember when that episode came out, and I was really excited to listen to it because I knew you loved this movie, and I was excited to hear them talk about it. And a certain very, very popular, famous comedian was the guest on that episode. And not only did that person not watch the movie, admitted to falling asleep during it, proceeded to, like, destroy the entire episode of that. It's the worst episode of that podcast that has ever been recorded, and it's about this movie. And I'm so disappointed. Like, it's no, I wouldn't. Yeah. So, to this day, this very popular comedian, I hate just because of how awful they were on this episode.
You're going to have to, like, DM me the deets, because I don't remember you talking about this, and I don't even don't know what podcast you're talking about.
Yeah, people who listen to the podcast will immediately know what I'm talking about, but I don't want to name names and be a bitch, so.
Okay.
But I'll tell you later.
Okay, thanks. No, without the no.
So, the first Howling film came out in 81. It was directed by Joe Dante. And it was loosely based on the novel The Howling by Gary Bradner. It only cost like $1.5 million to make and grossed $17.9 million at the box office.
Not bad.
Not bad. So naturally, they'd wanted to cash in some more. This film, Howling 2, Your Sister is a Werewolf, was directed by Philippe Mora. The first draft of the film was written by the novelist Gary Bradner, but as demands for rewrites and changes became too taxing and time-consuming for Bradner, who at the time was also working on his published works and had deadlines, he left the film and was replaced by Robert Sarno. So the final product of what we got is apparently not really close to what Bradner originally wrote, but maybe it's for the best. The film was shot on location in Los Angeles and in Czechoslovakia. The names of the various subtitles of the movie for English language versions of this Howling 2 includes She-Wolf, Bark at the Moon, It's Not Over Yet, Your Sister is a Werewolf, and Stirba, Werewolf Bitch.
I like that one the best, honestly.
Right? I saw a poster that had that on it. I'm like, that's amazing.
I would like that.
So like I said, watching this, it was kind of a fever dream. So Julie's going to have to help me on the plot. I just, all of my notes are just like sentence fractures and question marks.
For main thing, right out the gate, I have been watching this movie for literal years, did not realize until today, when I was Google searching, that the main female lead is the bitch Jane from Beetlejuice. Did not put that together until today.
I know, I didn't, but I only put it together because I noticed it when I was doing research. I didn't recognize her while I was watching it. Ugh.
Yeah, it's Annie McEnroe.
God bless her.
Truly God bless her, because this movie.
Most important, in terms of cast, we have to talk about Christopher Lee.
Oh my god. He carries it.
He does. The late, great Sir Christopher Lee. He said in an interview at the time of this movie's release that his reason for accepting the role was because he had never before appeared in a werewolf movie. That's all it took. He, of course, was infamously played Dracula, so he was like, I need a werewolf movie under my belt. So,
oh heck yeah! I mean, fair,
yeah.
He knocks so, it out of the park.
He does. He crushes it. He always crushes it. Like, God bless.
He always crushes it because he's a spooky dude. And, like, I don't know. He owned the fact that he was a spooky dude. And mm-hmm. he made it work for him.
Yeah. I like to imagine him and Vincent Price having spooky dinner parties in heaven.
See.
So the movie begins in Los Angeles, and it starts with the funeral of Karen Wright, who is the protagonist of Howling One. But this movie follows her brother, Ben White.
Ben is a sheriff in Montana.
Oh, see, didn't pick that up. God bless you.
Oh, yeah. Well, I didn't pick, you know what? I hadn't picked up until this time, too. He's mm-hmm. also a Vietnam vet, but you don't find that out until like a fully an hour into the movie.
Interesting.
Because he has a throwaway line. I haven't felt like this since the Mekong Delta. Mm. And I was like, it sounds like Vietnam to me. It is. I Googled it.
Well spotted.
Yeah.
So was Jenny in the first movie at all? Do you know?
I don't. Honey, I maybe seen it once. I don't remember Jenny. I don't think so.
So we have Ben.
I don't think so.
So we have Ben, and then we have his friend Jenny. And
well, I don't even think they're friends at the beginning. I don't think they know each other. They meet at the funeral.
So that's why I was wondering if she was in the first movie, because otherwise she just kind of comes out of nowhere.
No, they meet at the funeral. She worked with Karen.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah, she worked at the newspaper or the newsroom with Karen.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So they meet at the funeral, and they get approached by Christopher Lee's character, Stefan. And Stefan doesn't really mince words. He does just Crosscode, is that what the last name is?
Crosscode, yeah.
Yeah. He doesn't really mince words. He basically is just like, hey, your sister's a werewolf.
Yeah, pretty much. He's like, this is about her immortal soul. She's never going to get rest in peace if we don't do something about it. And Ben's like, get away from me. Go away. Like, leave me the hell alone.
Right.
And then Jenny steps up and she's like, who is that man? And he gave Ben a card that says, Stefan Crosscoat, occult investigator. And she's like, can I see that card? She's like, I would like to talk to him. I think he knows something. And it's like, girl, what has gotten into you? Like, he's a creepy man, but you're all like, okay, actually, let's find out what happened to Karen. Yeah. That's, and while, like, oh my gosh, yes. And while she's running after him, I'm just taking over, I'm sorry.
Go for it.
While she's, like, running after him, she passes, like, we get the shot of her passing these two people that just kind of like snarl in the weirdest way as like people are passing and as Stefan is passing them. And then we watch Jenny run by them. And it, there's so much.
Is so the people that she runs past, that's Mariana and some dude, right?
Erla. Yeah.
And I like there was a good touch of where, like, you could see him shuffling his feet because they were near a cemetery and you could tell, like, they are not comfortable on hallowed ground.
Yes.
I thought that was a nice touch. And then there's, like, a smash cut between scenes where they show Karen screaming in her casket. And I don't know if that was like supposed to be her literally screaming in the casket or just represent her like unrested soul.
I also don't know. Not sure. I mean, we can interpret it both ways probably.
Yeah. I would just say in general in this movie, there's a lot of like crossover of mythologies. Like, I feel like there's a lot of werewolf crossover with vampirism, crossover with witchcraft. Like, it's all kind of muddled.
Yeah.
Don't you feel?
Yeah, it's like somebody, like, it's almost like somebody had heard these myths but couldn't remember, so they just jumbled it all up.
Yeah. That tracks. That could literally be.
Probably what it was. That's right. Probably what it was. Because I'm not sure if they were completely sensitive to, like, the dark country or anything like that. You know what I mean?
Right.
But they also... So, Jenny, like, drags Ben to Stefan's creepy mansion. Oh, right. Wait. But they did a scene... Hold on, wait. But they also did a scene with the band.
Right.
And the song. I'm obsessed with that song. It is not on Spotify, and it's messed up.
Oh.
It's not on Spotify. I've looked.
The band is Babel. They're, like, a new wave punk band. And they wrote this title track for the movie. This track is called Howling. And they play the song through the whole movie. Like, yeah, they wrote...
Thank God.
They wrote one song. And by God, they're milking it. So
it's,
we see
it's a good song.
I mean, it slaps. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah.
And my favorite part of this scene is at the beginning of this scene, they're at this club. And you see someone put, like, these new wave... sunglasses on Christopher Lee.
Yes.
And that was the moment. That was the moment I, like, paused and, like, texted Julie. I was like, this is something special.
It is. It really is.
This is how I knew. And so these kind a couple of these new wave punk douchebags are hitting on Mariana, that we know to be a werewolf, but they don't, obviously. She's just, like, a hot chick. And I forget what they asked at first. Like, he says something flirty to, like, start conversation.
Yeah, buy her a drink.
Oh, right. She's like, can I buy you a drink? And she said, no. And the other one's like, well, so ask her if she fucks then. I was like, wow. Classy.
Yeah. I mean, that tracks. That's men. That's
yeah. Work. And I mean, it works.
I mean
not in the long run, but in the short term, Mariana's like, yeah, sure, come with me.
Thought you'd never ask, I think is what she said.
Right. So Mariana, these three guys, and this other punk chick, one of the guys is with this other chick, right?
Yeah.
So all five of them go to this warehouse. And one of the dudes and the punk chick go off to have sex. And then the other two dudes follow Mariana, and she's, like, luring them deeper into the warehouse.
There was a pair of panties, and the guy picks it up and sniffs them. What the fuck is that about? Like, what the fuck is that about? Like, I know it's a thing. Like, I know it's a thing, like, with dudes and, like, sniffing, but what the fuck is that about?
That's a very good question. I don't know. I always find it gross myself.
It's very weird. But
yeah, God bless the men that buy panties, because there are some women who make a really good living selling their undies.
Good for them, but I don't get it. Not to yuck your yum, I just don't understand.
Right. This is my favorite part of the entire movie. I recorded it on my phone. I watched it a million times. I laughed so hard. Something gets thrown at one of the guys, at this guy. A bottle gets thrown at this guy whose name is Deacon, right? And shatters against his head.
Yep.
And the other guy is, like, laughing about it. And he's like, you know, you shouldn't have done that, blah, blah. And out of frame comes, like, this giant, what is it, a pipe?
Yeah.
Pipe comes soaring into frame and just knocks this guy clean out of frame. And it is so fucking funny. And I have to admit, like, the director is in on the joke. Like, the director wanted this to be a funny movie with horror elements, but the producers got their hands on it and edited it because they wanted it to be more of a horror movie with some comedic elements, which is why it's so campy and disjointed, because the vision is so muddled. But if they had, like, just let it be a comedy, it would have been, oh my God. Probably even so funnier than it already was.
It really fits the criteria for your podcast. Unlike Paddington 2. I'm never letting it go. Ever.
I mean, it really does. It does. It checks all the marks, man. Oh, even the queer.
Yeah,
we'll get
there's
to that.
even like, yeah, they're, yeah. Oh, I hadn't thought about that, but yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about that, but I love this movie so much. Oh, God. Also, the guy doing the zipper thing, he deserved what happened to him. So, I don't mind that, you know, they got eaten. Now, oh my God, my favorite part, when she walks in, you were talking about it being like kind of like a comedy thing, like when she walks into that warehouse and just starts howling, like, come on.
That is,
but then, I mean, she's like calling like her pack, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Cause it's dinner time. Now, here's the thing. The guy and the girl that were just there to fuck, that's sad. The other two, fuck them, deserve.
Totally.
You know?
Totally. Yeah, about her howling. My only complaint of this movie, the only thing that I like actively disliked, is the type of noises the werewolves made. Because I'm a monster fucker. I love me some werewolves. But there's no bigger turnoff than the weird grunting and snorting they were doing. I'm like, have you guys ever met a dog? Like, that's not... You guys sound like pigs. Like, that's not how they... Just growl or something. That's not the snorting and the... Ugh, it's bad. Especially during what would have otherwise been a really hot scene later on. There's just so much grunting.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I keep yawning.
Oh, you're fine. I know you just woke up from a devil's nap.
It's true.
So, a bunch of werewolves eat the punks.
Yeah. They try to make a run for it. It doesn't happen.
Nope.
Oh, my God. Yeah, they try to make a run, including the girl. Like, she makes it out of the building, and then the other guy, like, falls down in front of her, and, like, blood splatters up on her shirt, and then the werewolf just grabs her, and, like, you see her, like, heels getting dragged back into the building.
Mm.
So goofy.
Poor girl.
Mm-hmm.
She had a cool outfit, I remember that.
Yeah, like, the leather cuffs around her, like, ankles, and then one had, a rhinestone heart on it. Yes.
Right.
Living.
So after this, it cuts back to Ben and Jenny, who have now gone to Stefan's house. And Stefan,
the shuffly werewolf is like watching outside his house.
Oh, I didn't even catch that.
Yeah, he was outside the house. Like he watched them go in.
So Stefan explains to them that when she was buried, before she was buried, like when they, I guess, embalmed her or whatever, they removed the bullets that killed her, and they were silver bullets. And because they removed the bullets that killed her, now her soul will never rest in peace. And he like shows them a video of her death and shows that she was a werewolf. Ben still doesn't buy it.
I'm pretty sure that happens at the end of The Howling. At the end of The Howling, like, you see her go back to her job. And when she goes back, she's, like, on camera and she starts transforming and then she gets killed. Right. So that is, I'm pretty sure, I swear, I think I've only seen The Howling once. And I'm pretty sure that's what happens. Isn't that goofy? Like, I've seen this movie how many times? I have it on DVD and I've only seen the first one, like, once.
What can you do?
Yeah.
I think it has Dee Wallace in it, which makes me kind of want to watch it because I liked her, but someday I'll get around to it.
Yeah.
He explains to them about Mariana, who we've seen. And then he explains that it's going to be like the 10,000th birthday or something of... Is it Stirba?
Stirba, yeah. I mean, yeah, it must be just because it's like Eastern European, you like slur that R into an L.
Yeah.
Or I don't know, it's a Christopher Lee thing. That's how he says it. So, Stirba. Right.
Because I can't roll my R's. So I'm just like, sure.
Yeah. If people gig you for it, they're rude.
Yeah, well, what can you do?
Yeah.
And he explains that it's this, like, ancient, she's, like, the mother of all werewolves, and it's going to be her birthday or, like, the anniversary of her creation or something like that. And
yeah, he doesn't say 10,000 years. He's like 10th millennium. And it's like, come on, Chris.
Jesus, 10th millennium. That's an old ass bitch.
She is an old ass bitch.
And yet she's white.
Mm. Oh. Yeah. I mean, to be fair, it does track because white people, monsters. Mm. I mean, but
I think he explains that when she, something about her returning will make all the werewolves in the world, like,
expose themselves,
and that they'll basically take over the world.
It's probably not that bad.
Yeah.
I mean, we really fucked it up, so werewolf world sounds awesome.
Frankly, yes.
Yeah.
Ben doesn't buy any of it. He's like, yeah, no. Whatever.
He's a sheriff from Montana. That stuff's not real.
And Stefan explains that he's going to go to Karen's tomb and, like, stab her with a silver stake in the heart, and that will, like, put her to rest, I guess?
Yes.
So Ben and Jenny go back to Jenny's house, and they're sitting around having Bloody Marys.
Oh, before they leave, though, Stefan tells Jenny to take the silver bullets. Right. And she does. Because she's fully in. She believes it. Like, which, yes. Yes, Jenny, you are giving. You know what I mean? She believes it. So they go back to her house. They're having blood and two Bloody Marys.
Oh, something else that happened at Stefan's house that I should mention, that he mentions, is that he describes the transformation of the werewolves as, like, almost a reversal of evolution.
Okay, yeah.
Which was a line that Christopher Lee suggested, because at one point in production, they were supposed to get these werewolf suits, right?
Yeah.
They sent them monkey suits.
Oh, no. And, that makes sense.
Yeah, and they were like, what the fuck are we supposed to do with monkey suits? And it was Christopher Lee's idea to mention, like, a reversal of evolution. So there's some shots of werewolf transformations where if they kind of look like monkeys, that's why.
It's because they are. Wow. That's awesome.
Christopher Lee, MVP, baby.
Yes, he is the MVP.
So, right, Bloody Mary's at Jenny's house. Ben, not only is not a believer and is a complete hater, not very bright.
No.
There's something about that actor. He's just kind of a dim bulb. But he, like, decides, he just kind of, like, out of nowhere, he's like, that guy's gonna go and, you know, he knew that he was gonna go to Karen's grave. He's like, I'm gonna go kill him.
Yeah, pretty much. Which I was like, aren't you a law enforcement officer? Like,
could you just, like, apprehend him for trying to desecrate a corpse? You don't have to go in there, like, guns a-blazing.
Call the cops, like...
Right.
No, he's just gonna take care of it himself.
Men.
Yeah. But I guess now that I know that he, like, probably experienced some, like, horrors in a war, that makes a little more sense to me now.
We're being very generous to Ben's characterization here.
Yeah, I am. You're right. He is just kind of a dim bulb.
So Ben takes off. Jenny follows him. She takes the bullets, brings the bullets with her.
Yep.
And they go to find Stefan in the cemetery. But on their way there, they get attacked by a werewolf.
Yes.
And Ben shoots at the werewolf, and then they run and hide in the mausoleum where they find Stefan over Karen's coffin.
In her, like, glass coffin.
Yeah, very weird. Very Snow White.
Very awesome.
It is pretty cool. But I don't want you to be able to look into my mausoleum and watch me decay. Like, ew.
Yeah, well, I mean, maybe she was just there for the night, and then they were going to put her in, like, a vault.
Maybe.
Maybe not. Who knows? But at the same time, You're dead, so will you really know?
Well, I intend on coming back and haunting all of you, so.
Oh, aw.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah. In, like, a fun way.
Mm-hmm.
All my notes say at this point is there's a lot of screaming and shooting.
Yeah, my note says unlimited ammo, unlimited silver bullets, because he fires that gun too many times.
Yeah, he does.
Too many times.
It's literally just like everyone screaming and werewolves keep popping out of everywhere and he just keeps blowing them away. And there's... and somehow, after all that settled down, and Karen, like, bursts out of her coffin, right?
Yeah, she transformed. I think he shoots her too. Doesn't he?
I don't remember.
Yeah, he shoots her too, or Stefan stakes her with his.
I think Stefan stakes her.
We did forgot to mention Stefan does give us a critical piece of information too about some werewolves and that they are immune to silver and you can only kill them with titanium, which I have never heard before.
Yeah, I was like, that was definitely pulled out of some screenwriter's ass.
Sure, but I mean, I kind of like the idea of immune werewolves, and you have to find like another way to kill them. I love that.
Yeah,
that's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's very Anne Rice. You know, like there's a certain like era. Once you get to a certain age of vampire, that they're more immune to shit than others. Like Akasha could walk out in the sun. That kind of level of power.
Oh yeah. Oh, Akasha.
So they decide to go to find Stirba. They go to the dark country.
Yeah, well, while they're there, they kill that werewolf Erla, and Stefan knows him by name, so he know like Erla knew Stefan, and Stefan knew him. And he said where, and basically. He tells him, I'm never going to let you rest in peace until you tell me where Stirba is. And so the guy thinks about it. And I don't know what they do, but like he thinks about it for 2 seconds. And then he's like, the dark country, which and then like Christopher Lee just like stabs him with a silver or titanium stake, which stakes werewolves, vampires. It's fine. Whatever.
Right.
Stabs him with it, and then, like, it's incredible that this one night of killing werewolves in Los Angeles in the cemetery has convinced Ben and Jenny to follow Christopher Lee to Transylvania.
right.
And, like, again, Transylvania werewolves, maybe, like, okay, I guess, but.
yeah. I mean, I guess there were, like, the suggestion of werewolves in Dracula.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Yeah, who knows? Yeah, I really feel like I blinked and they were on their way to Transylvania. I'm like, oh, okay, so this is happening. Cool.
Yeah, I mean, I wish I had the means to just up and fuck off to Transylvania.
Transylvania's not even, like, a place, right?
Yeah, it's in Romania. Yeah, it's in Romania. It's just, like, a territory kind of thing.
Yeah. So, an interesting fact about filming in Czechoslovakia that I loved. Director Philippe Mora didn't know that Christopher Lee was a war hero in Czechoslovakia. It wasn't something that Lee was really supposed to talk about, but during World War II, he was part of an intelligence agency. So when they showed up to film in Czechoslovakia, he was greeted with a hero's welcome at the airport when they arrived.
Isn't that incredible?
Isn't that the most badass shit you've ever heard? I fucking love Christopher Lee.
Fuck yeah.
And of course he would be and of course everyone was just kind of like, what the fuck's going on? And Christopher Lee's just like, oh, whatever. I killed some Nazis. It's cool. Like, just totally like you do.
Yeah.
Let's see. Oh, and then we finally see this big blood ritual going on.
To
revive and to rejuvenate Stirba and make her young again. Because we see her as like an old crone. And they have some poor girl laid out on a altar. And they do the ceremony, and Stirpa sucks the life force out of her and becomes young again. I have to read you this anecdote. Did you read any of the trivia or anything about this movie?
No, I didn't. I should have.
No, that's okay, because I like milked all the interesting stuff. This, because I love this story so much. So this is via IMDb. According to director Philippe Mora on a recent commentary, when the crew arrived in Soviet-controlled Prague, he asked the local authority for a location to shoot the werewolf's lair. To his surprise, he was taken to a Catholic church that was and was shown the church's crypt. He loved the location, but felt uneasy about doing scenes that contained nudity and killings in a church, so he went to the priest to tell him about what they are going to do, and much to his surprise, the priest gave his permission. He was taken aback and asked the priest, "Isn't this considered a desecration?" To which the priest replied, "Absolutely, but we've been asking the Soviets to allow a bishop from the Vatican to come visit us for years, and now they have to for sanctification." The next day, he received a call from the priest informing him that he called the Vatican and they gave him the go-ahead. Philippe Mora also said that the Soviets were impressed with him for not caring about shooting in a religious building, as they disliked the church and would do anything to annoy the Vatican.
Oh my god.
So, the werewolf slayer is
so good.
Right? The werewolf slayer is in a church's crypt. How fucking rad is that?
Oh my gosh. Wow.
I love it.
Dude, this movie is incredible.
It truly is. So what happens after this blood witch ritual? We see, who plays Struba? Sybil Danning. Hot as fuck.
So hot. Just so, so hot. like, my note says, they don't make ritual sacrifices like they used to.
It's true.
And I was like, but the... And so, yeah, so she, like, sucks all the life out of this, like, girl child, and here's Stirba. She speaks perfect, unaccented English. Fabulous. I love it. And she takes a look at Mariana. Like, she takes her hair down. Like, Mariana's there. She's, like, all made up and, like, very formal for the ritual. And she, like, takes her hair down and... She shakes her head out, and she's like, she's so beautiful, she's so strong, she'll make us many fierce daughters and sons. And she says it, daughters and sons. Mm. Thank you, Stirpa. Yes, queen. and basically, yeah, the werewolf breeding program, hot.
She, Stirpa has this little fuckboy, Vlad, is like her minion. And... is like showing Vlad Mariana and asking what he thinks of her.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like basically, do you want her? And he's like, yeah, I do.
Oh, yeah. Vlad sucks.
Yeah, he does. Vlad takes Mariana, or rather, Mariana takes Vlad to bed, and they start fooling around while Stirpa watches. And we get to see Sybil Danning take off her dress, right?
She rips
her fucking dress off. Titties. Great titties. Amazing titties.
So good.
But apparently, Sybil Danning was tired of having to go topless or nude so often in her movies and wanted to remain clothed for this one. In the end, they made a compromise. They made a compromise that there would only be that single topless shot of Sybil. But she was very angry when she watched the finished film to see the ending credits, where they featured this shot no less than 17 times.
Yep.
During the final credits, that Babel song's playing, and they're showing clips from the movie, and they just show her ripping her dress off over and over and over again.
I'm going to be honest with you, Chief. I'm pretty sure that's why I like this movie so much.
Sybil Danning's perfect titties?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's fair.
But do they also, like, while they start fucking, is that when they, like, start growing hair and shit?
Yeah. It's, like, intercut with the next scene with Stefan and them. But, yeah, there's basically a werewolf threesome between Vlad, Mariana, and Stirba. And,
thank God.
And they're, like, half-transformed. So they still kind of have, like, human faces, but they're covered in hair and have their fangs. And they're just rolling around in bed together. It's hot.
And snarling.
Snorting.
Oh my god. Yeah. Oh my gosh. So we cut back to like Jenny and Ben and Stefan in the car. And
right.
Like Stefan's just kind of like chilling in the back seat. Jenny's driving. I was like, yes. And they come upon this like group of people and like a car crash. And so they get out and Jenny's like, oh my god, do you need any help? I'm like, girl, you are in fucking Romania. Like, they don't speak English. What the hell are you doing? But of course, some people do speak English. And they're like, oh, she was hit, blah, blah, blah. And so she gets down to like, and then they leave. And so she gets down to like, listen to this woman. She's like, oh, she's mumbling something. And she gets down to listen. And then all of a sudden you see this woman's like nasty ass fangs grow out. And she's like, oh, and then Stefan just like stabs her with a knife, like, either a silver or, and or titanium knife, just stabs her. And then he's like, I'm going to the, he like starts walking off. She's like, where did they go? Jenny was like, where did they go? Cause she's dumb as bricks. Like, dumb as brick. Like, she's supposed to be, like, trying to be a Pulitzer Prize winner, but she's dumb as a box of rocks.
Right.
And she's like, where did they go? And he's like, they're here. And so he starts walking off, and she's like, where are you going? He's like, I will meet you in the village. Like, they don't know where the hell they're going.
Right.
It's fine, though, because he just walks off. And so they get back in the car, and immediately they are attacked by a werewolf.
He's just like in the back seat of their car, isn't
yeah,
he?
Pretty much, yeah. He just like climbed in the back seat of the car, and then they make it to town, and like there are all these amazing like cut shots of like these like skeletons on the outside of buildings, and like all the like old timey like gothic architecture. It's incredible,
right?
It really made you feel like you were in Transylvania.
And there's like a street festival going on, right?
Yes, there is a street festival going on.
And it's like supposed to be like in celebration of this, of the new moon phase or whatever. And it's.
Yes. And Vlad is there.
Vlad is there. Him.
He's there.
By the way, is a that guy. Like,
yeah,
he's been. He was in the original Dune. He's.
Really?
What else was he? Yeah. What else was he in?
Google.
Judd Omen is his name.
Yeah.
But yeah, like as soon as I saw him, Judd Omen.
Oh yeah, he is a that guy. Oh my god, he's been in everything.
He was in Red Dawn. He was in Pee-wee's Big Adventure. Yeah. As soon as I saw him, I was like, I know that. I know those cheekbones.
Yeah. Oh, he was Jonas in Dune. Huh.
Where was I? I lost my notes. There we go. It was at this point, speaking of the cast members.
Yeah.
It was at this point in the film. It took me this long. It was like halfway through the movie. To realize that our main character, Ben, played by Reb Brown, is the same actor from Space Mutiny. Space Mutiny, it was a movie that was one of the most infamous movies that they covered on Mystery Science Theater 3000. It's my favorite episode of Mystery Science Theater 3000. And I lost my mind when I realized. I can't believe it took me so long. I just was like, he is like a B-movie actor. I had to have seen him in something. But he said something especially like beef-headed, and that's when it clicked. The running joke in that episode is like his character's name is Dave Ryder in Space Mutiny, but he's just like such a stupid jock, Chad, beef-headed numbnuts that every time they like cut to a new scene that he's in, they'll just randomly shout out a name. They'll be like slab, bulkhead, fridge, large meat, butch, deadlift,
splint, big McLarge huge. Hair.
Big McLarge huge. That's where that comes from. They do it through the whole movie, and I to this day will just like randomly throw those out there. Reef blast body, smoke man muscle, just like. And that's this fucking guy. Oh god! Next time you're with Seth, insist you guys watch Space Mutiny because it's.
Oh, he would love that. I'm sure.
We should get Seth on the show sometime.
Oh my gosh! Yes.
So Ben and Jenny,
like any honestly, the best way to get him to do it is if we do American Werewolf in London.
Oh,
that's one of his favorite movies.
Oh yeah, we could do that.
Yeah, he loves werewolf movies. I think it's so cute.
Just cute. So Ben and Jenny check into a hotel.
Oh my God.
And all the employees are very sinister.
They are. We did forget to mention that the guy behind the counter, because we didn't talk about this part, but when Mariana gets to Transylvania, they like load her up in this truck. And then as they're driving, like Vlad tells the driver they're getting hungry. And so they come upon these like two German dudes, like beefcakes, walking in the countryside, and they pick him up and then they get in the back of the truck. And you see the driver just go, schnitzel. That's the guy behind the counter in the hotel.
I totally missed that.
Yeah, that's the guy behind the counter in the hotel.
That's so funny. Yeah, so like, even if you weren't getting the sinister vibes, if you noticed that much, you're just like, oh, so this hotel is probably not entirely safe.
Yeah, especially because he puts them in room 666.
Yeah, and Ben is like, this hotel doesn't look like it has six floors. And he's like, yeah, weird, isn't it? And they all just kind of like laugh maniacally and they're just like, okay.
Yeah.
And when they like leave to go to their room, you see the employees' fangs and shit. And I was like, ooh, subtle.
Yeah, of course it is.
And then,
oh my God.
Like, we're in the middle of all this shit that's going on. And out of nowhere, fucking prompted by nothing, Ben and Jenny fuck.
Yeah, she's like, oh, Ben, I'm so scared. I need you to hold me. And he's like, yeah, okay. And then they fuck. Which, I mean. Yeah, okay. My note says, like, just going to Transylvania with a creepy guy who told you about werewolves, of course you're going to be scared and then fuck the Montana sheriff. He's not going to take off his pants.
He's I feel strong, like,
though. Because he he's very strong. Up against the wall. But, like, while this happened, too, like, Vlad was on the street dancing with this chick, and, like, he must be super in tune to them because he starts, like, molesting this woman. While Ben and Jenny are banging.
Oh, that's true. Ugh.
Okay, go ahead. Sorry, I keep like interrupting you.
No. Go ahead.
Well, so they come. I've noticed it before, but I really liked it this time because I'm sentimental. Like when they come out of the hotel after they fuck, they're both like kind of shy and cute and just kind of smiling at each other, and it's just really cute. Like it was just really cute, and I'm like, you know, I was like, for what this movie is, I love this. Like, really, it was really innocent for like what they were there to do, you know?
Yeah.
So, and then they get signaled by a dwarf, or not a dwarf. Sorry, that's a rude word. A little person.
And they're just like, should we follow him? Yeah, sure.
He's like, he literally goes, yeah, why not? Like. Okay, so they follow the guy. His name is Vasile, and they follow him to a church, I think. Yeah.
Where Stefan is with a couple of other people that are going to help them go after the werewolves.
Yes.
And basically just tells Ben and Jenny, just like, go out to the festival, act like normal tourists, but just keep an eye out for Mariana, because we'll follow her, and she'll lead us to Sirba.
Yeah.
What What the fuck is this note that I have?
What's it say?
Do they go back to the hotel?
Yes.
Okay, because I have the part where Ben says, "Boo. Hi, honey."
Yeah. So you go back to the hotel.
No, go ahead.
No, I'm trying to remember what happened because I stopped taking good notes because I was too interested in watching the show. Yeah, they go back, but then they go back to the streets. Like, they see a puppet show at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And it, like, disturbs her because it's, like, literally about a woman getting attacked by a wolf. And Jenny's, like, not down for that anymore. she says that, yes, they see that. And then she says, "Let's go upstairs." And then we see the tub scene.
Okay.
Yeah. And so then I think
you guys are supposed to be on a mission.
Yeah, but she's taking a bath. She's had a hard time. And then they go back. They're out in the street with the concierge's nephew Tondo. They're out in the street. Jenny is dancing. She's wearing like this denim number, and she's just kind of dancing. And Ben's like, "Hey, Tondo, keep an eye on her. I'm gonna go get a gift. I'm gonna go get her a gift." And so he like leaves, and then I can't remember what he does. Does he see? I can't remember what happens. Like, a lot of stuff happens right away. Like, it, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
She finally realizes he's gone. Do you have notes for these parts, or am I just like winging it?
No, I really don't have notes up either to the point where they get separated, because they get. I just know that they get separated, and Ben is with the little person whose name I already forgot.
Vasile.
And then Jenny's with the other dude.
Yeah, Tondo. Yeah, so he's with Vasile, and then she, like, Tondo lures her away from town by saying that he thinks Ben went towards the gypsy village. And Ben and Vasile go somewhere. Like, they go up towards the castle, right?
Yeah, they start heading towards Steerforth Castle. Because they are starting to head there, and he gives Ben blessed earplugs.
Yes, they're wax from the holy candles, yeah.
To protect him from, like, Steerforth's spells.
Yeah.
But while they're getting closer to the castle, the ones in Shortstack's ears. You said his name 12 times. I can't remember it. The Vasile. Guy Ben's with. Yes. His fall out, and he can hear Steerba's chanting, and it like makes his head implode.
Okay. Apparently that chant is like a real Wiccan chant, though.
I know. I saw that too, and I was like, I mean, I practice witchcraft. I don't know of any of a chance that will, like, make a person's head implode, but sure.
No, but, I mean, like, it might be, like, it is the one, but, like, they used it for that.
Right.
Because I always try to find the other one that they do during the blood sacrifice rituals, and, like, you can't find, like, I can't find, like, the actual words of that anywhere.
Yeah.
It sounds like fun, though. but the other one, I saw that today, and I was like, wow, that's interesting.
Yeah. And while all this is happening, Jenny is with the other guy, and he tries to rape her.
Yeah, he's pretty gross.
Yeah, he like basically is like, "I'm gonna kill you, but before I do that, I'm gonna make love to you." And she, well, he
very
like
much like to make love to you.
Yeah, creepy. And he like knocks her out and lays her down on the ground, but before he can do anything to her, Steerva shows up.
Yep.
And stops him. And he says
to be disciplined.
I would love to know what that entailed.
True.
Sends him off, and then she takes Jenny's necklace off.
And her holy metal. Yeah, I forgot. He gave them holy medals.
Right. And she, Steerva, takes Jenny's off, and is going to use her as bait. So, after what's-his-nuts' head exploded, he, like, was put under her curse and then put, like, a mask on him.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Jenny's medal and jacket.
Oh, I didn't even do it. It didn't even occur to me that was her jacket. Yeah.
It's her jacket, yeah.
And so they use that to lure Stefan. So he follows, and it works. He lures Stefan into somewhere, into some building. And he thinks that it's just like a child because he's using like a fake voice too.
Oh, it's the creepiest thing.
It is really creepy. It's very, it's very Don't Look Now. If you've ever, anyone who's ever seen Don't Look Now, it's very that. But he like takes the mask off and realizes who it is, and he attacks him. But Ben shows up somehow and saves the day.
He does.
And don't they like yeet him out a window?
He does yeet him out a window onto like a bunch of spikes.
That'll do it.
It'll do it. Well, and then like Stefan mentions, they go back to the church, and he mentions that he said Syrva sent an effigy of Vasile to harm or to kill me. We have to go. And they get all these weapons. He's like, oh, the weapons. And so they're all like titanium knives and like axes and shit. And then like, he mentions a cup that held the blood of Christ. I was like, see the fucking Holy Grail?
Just casually, just has it on hand.
Yeah. To be fair, it does make sense because it makes sense, and here's why. Because somewhere around this point, Styrba reveals a very important information about Stefan.
I totally missed that. What was that?
Oh, he's her brother.
Oh! What? I totally missed that!
Stefan's her brother.
Holy shit!
How did you miss that? At the end, where she's like together forever, brother and sister.
I thought she meant figuratively.
I didn't think so. I don't think so.
No, you're probably right. I mean, how is he like alive still?
I feel they're magic, I think.
Yeah. Maybe they were both magic first, and then she became a werewolf second.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I don't know. I always took it as that they're brother and sister.
You're probably right.
She said he's my brother.
Huh.
And that, because that's why he has to kill her, because they're siblings. That's why he has to be the one to do it.
Gotcha.
Yeah, she reveals this information, and then the end is fabulous, because she's like together forever and engulfed in flame and shit like that, and it's like kind of horny. But anyways, if he is 10,000 years old, it would not be weird for him to have the Holy Grail.
It's true.
So,
you know. There's also, during this sequence, intercut randomly, is this big werewolf orgy.
Did they bring the band? Is the band actually physically there?
I don't know! I was gonna ask you! Because the orgy is like intercut with more of that concert footage. And it doesn't make any sense why. It's literally the exact same footage from earlier, so it's not like they could be there, because they're on the club stage.
Maybe there's a club stage in the castle.
Maybe.
I'm saying yeah. I sure wouldn't do anything. I'm fine with it.
You'll also notice during this scene that Sybil Danning is wearing sunglasses.
Mm-hmm.
And that was because she arrived on set that day and said that she wasn't sure what to do because she had conjunctivitis.
Oh, Jesus.
So the director is just like, here, wear these sunglasses. And she protested because the scene was indoors. And Philippe told her, Sybil, you're the queen of werewolves. You can wear whatever you damn well like.
Pretty much. That outfit she's wearing at the end of this movie is absolutely incredible. Like the, isn't it just like the big shoulder pads, pleated like bodysuit with the high boots that are, mm-hmm. are the same. It's incredible. Wish. Why is that not me?
Yeah, the aesthetic of this movie is chef kiss.
Yeah, it's like it's super 80s, but it's like really fun. Like her hair is incredible. Like it's huge and like curly and just good. Like it's awesome.
Mm-hmm. It is very, very 80s.
It really is. Go ahead. Sorry. I keep trying to think of your show.
No, you're fine. That's what you're here for, because I don't know what the fuck goes on the rest of this movie. Is this a war?
Well, we see they have Jenny at the, they have her tied up like all the other girls. And they do another like kind of blood sacrifice. He said he's anointing her with the blood of the lamb, which is alarmingly Christian for a werewolf. And he said, after, I'm going to come back and I'm going to make you one of us. So she's probably wigging out because she's going to get made into a werewolf, which honestly would be preferable to be being eaten, honestly.
Yeah, true.
Like, I think I would rather be a werewolf than be eaten.
Yeah, same.
So, yeah, so they do that and then they're preparing for Stefan because they've successfully lured him there and they know he's coming. When they were getting weapons in the church, like, he bends all these knives, and he's like, don't you have anything a little more modern? And Stefan gives him a gun that belonged to Vasile, which is sweet, considering, you know, he's dead. Yeah. And so they all go up the mountain, basically, to go capture Stirba, or go kill her, I guess. And... I guess, like, I mean, like, all the other, they get ambushed on their way up, basically, right?
Right.
And somehow they make it inside, and Stefan goes for Stirba, and Ben goes for Jenny, and he finds, like, I think, oh, Stirba says, bring the girl. And so Mariana and Vlad go to get the girl, but Stirba has done some sort of spell to make all of the werewolves transform. And Vlad is having a really hard time resisting that call. So he's, like, shifting into feral mode, where Mariana is still pretty, like, conscious. And he's, like, half feral. And she's like, you have to focus. We need to get the girl. So they go to get Jenny, but he's, like, half transformed. He's ready to eat and or fuck. And, like, Mariana tries to throw him off, but again, guess who's there? It's Ben. And he shoots Vlad, and then he, like, just sticks the titanium knife right into her. And I was like, man, she was like so overpowered to go out this quick. And I'm like, okay, this is the end of the movie, so that makes sense.
Yeah. It's like, we gotta start wrapping shit up.
Yeah, we gotta wrap it up. And so Ben, like, gets Jenny, and I think do they just flee?
Oh, yeah, they totally said fuck Stefan. They just take off.
Yeah, they left. I think, yeah, they just flee. And I don't know if they wonder what the hell happens to him or not, because what happens is he confronts Stirba, and, like, they have, like, this magical showdown where they're both glowing green in that super awesome 80s, like, special effects way. And she, like, says a spell, and she's like, bring him to me, or whatever, and then I think he stabs her?
Mm-hmm.
He stabs her, but then, like... You know, he's like, oh, like, she says something like, brother and sister married in eternity. They keep talking about this weird shit, and then they burn alive. Right. And that's the end of Stefan and Stirba.
There was also, at one point, wasn't there, like, some weird demon bat thingy that she, like, threw at a preacher?
Yes. That was earlier. I missed it. I'm sorry.
No, it's like I just had barely a fraction of a note about it. And I was just like, did I imagine that? Was that a thing that happened? It wasn't important at all. It's just a thing that happened. Just weird rubber bat puppet going inside this guy's mouth.
It was on her. It was the thing on her, the top of her staff.
Mm.
And she did stick it on the preacher. But yeah, they like burn alive, and then Ben and Jenny go to town, and he puts a gun in the violinist or a fiddle guy player's face and says, "What's the quickest way to the airport?"
He's like, "What is the biggest way I could disrupt this entire festival?" Like, instead of just asking the first person he sees, he cuts through the crowd, gets up on stage, puts a gun in a musician's face, and is like, "Point me to the airport." And the guy just kind of like vaguely points over in a certain direction.
Yep.
Like, that's a bit much.
It was. Was she still covered in blood, too?
Yeah, she is.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. But yeah, so that's the end of their time in Transylvania.
And then it cuts to them living together, and it's Halloween, and they get a trick-or-treater that is dressed, quote unquote, dressed as a werewolf. And they give it candy and it goes away. And they're just like, "Oh, it's kind of weird."
What
And like,
strange-looking child?
yeah. They're like, "Where'd it come from?" They're like, "Well, it must have come from that apartment across the way," which they don't even explain how they came to that conclusion. They're just like, "Oh, it must be from our neighbor. They must live
Yeah.
there." And that they moved there while they were gone. So they go over to introduce themselves to the neighbor. The guy answers the door. And he had, was I imagining it, or did he have like a reverend collar on?
Yeah, it looked like it, yeah.
Yeah. And he's like, "I don't have any kids." He's like, "You guys should come in." And he was really creepy.
Yeah, she's like, maybe another time. And he's like, I hope so. I hope so. Yeah, he's really creepy. And then they like go across the hallway. And I think that's the end of the movie. And then in the pale, pale light of the moon glow. Because you could hear the song again and watch Sybil Danning rip her shirt off 17 times. In the pale, pale light. Yeah, I love that song. I love it. Like, I'm mad it's not on Spotify.
I
It
can't
would be
believe it.
nice.
I wonder
It's
if it's
not.
on YouTube Music. I'm going to see.
I mean, it's on YouTube. You can find it on like the video on YouTube to watch because that's
Or
what I
no, I
did
meant the
when
music app. I'm going to check later.
I was in music app.
Yeah, that's what I use instead of Spotify because I have a paid YouTube account.
Oh, look at
So
you
it has
fancy.
a separate music app with no ads or anything.
Oh.
It's, yeah, super, super duper convenient. Suggested to everybody.
I pay for Spotify Premium because I'm a douche.
The only like the last little trivia bit that I have that made me laugh was when Christopher Lee was cast in Gremlins 2, one of the first things he did was apologize to director Joe Dante, who had directed the first Howling movie, for being in this movie. But yeah, this movie's fucking great. It's like all like new wave eroticism and 80s and queer and weird. I don't know. It's just and like I said, it's so weird. Like, you can't do camp on purpose. You know what I mean? If you try to make something campy, it negates what camp is. And there's like this undertone of set, like you sense that someone is in on the joke, but not everybody. So it just has tonally, it's just all over the place. And it has began, rightly so, has become a cult classic.
Yeah, I love it a lot.
It's pretty great. I've,
I'm
like I
glad you
said, I re
finally watched it.
me too, friend. I wish we could have watched it together.
I know, I would have loved to have seen your face. I think that would have been fabulous. Especially the first time she like pulls her shirt off and then when we get to the end. Like, oh my God.
Oh man. Like I said, if you haven't seen this film, you should. It's on Amazon Prime and it's also on Tubi for free with ads. And I guarantee you're in for a fun ride. Any final thoughts on this movie, Julie?
Oh, I feel like I should have final thoughts, but like I'm like I need to take medicine. I'm just like,
Oh,
ooh.
Oh, poor Julie. I hope you feel better.
I will. I love this movie so much. It's so... I feel like I say that every time we do a podcast. Like, I'm like, I love this movie so much. But this one is... This is, like, beyond, like, Little Nicky. Like, is this one of my favorite movies?
That's high praise.
My favorite part of this movie, there's this one time where I think it's when he walks in on like the effigy of Vasily like attacking Stefan, and he goes, "Damn!" And it's it's just funny. It's just acting. Actually, maybe that happens like right at the beginning. Like acting. He's just like, "Damn." And it's like terrible.
Oh, God. I loved it too.
He also wears a bolo tie. Those are my final thoughts. Bolo tie.
Bolo tie. Well, thank you, listeners, for joining us on this one. In the episode description, there is a Linktree link that will take you to all of the show's social media pages. You can follow us there. You can get a hold of us through social media if you have any comments, questions, requests. You can also message us at weareweirdospodcast@gmail.com. Also in the episode description, you will find a link that will take you to our support page. There you can make a one-time donation or sign up for a monthly patronage. If you can't help us out financially, you can help us by sharing this podcast with your friends and followers to help us broaden our audience. And a big thank you, as always, to my dear loyal listeners who come back for every episode. And thank you again, Julie, for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
And until next time, we are the Weirdos, Mister.